your love for our fellow countrymen in China. As most of you are students and you are approaching a new semester, so back to school now. Today my message is to challenge you, pressing on. As the school gets started, I would like to encourage you to have a wonderful semester, in fact a wonderful year together. The topic is pressing on. The passage I chose is in Philippians 3:12-14. We ask the congregation to read together. Let's go. This is a simple passage, only three verses from the book of Philippians. But I think there are two very good points we can use to encourage one another. The first point is toward a goal. The second point is to not just notice, understand your goal, but also pressing on, straining toward that goal, and what is ahead of you. So, I would like to use these two points to encourage one another. There's one favorite book of mine, it's The Pilgrim's Progress. I don't know how many of you have read it. It's very, very good classic. And the story is about a man who is living in a sinful city. He was so burdened, he would like to leave the city. And one day he met a man, his name is called Evangelist. His name is called Evangelist. And it's pointing to him that you need to get out of this city and going march toward a city called the Heavenly City. And this pilgrim, his name is Christian. It's called Christian. So surely he marched on toward that goal. Here the evangelist point to Christian, the name, the person called Christian, that you have to leave this sinful city and march toward this heavenly city. Go straight. So there he went. Go on this pilgrimage and march on. And on his road, he find that two different types of people. The first type of people is that they don't know what they're doing. They're staying in a simple city. They have no goal. The second type of people are that they know the goal, but they just sleep on the way, getting lazy, getting nowhere. They know the goal, but they just sleep all the time. The third type of people is that they know the goal, but they take a sidewalk. They stray away from the goal. Of course, the best one is that they know the goal and can pressing on, straining to forward. These are the four P types of people. So my question to you, which type are you? Which category do you belong to? Do you know the goal? Do you know the goal of your life? And are you stretching on? Or just get lazy, playing all the time, and not using your time wisely? The goal that the church teach you, but you do not really commit to that goal. As a result, you are not using your time very wisely. Can I ask you to read again Philippians 3:14? Let's go. So the first point I would like to raise is toward the goal. There's another parallel verse, which is the opposite in Proverbs. It's when there's no revelation, people cast off restraints. When you do not have revelation, you don't have a goal from God, then you tend to indulge your time. You don't know where you're going, that's why you have a lot of time to kill. You just wander around. So the challenge to you is that, do you know what's your goal? What are you doing? When someone has no goal, no definite goal, and they've got a lot of time, they'll start playing a lot of games. Spending a lot of time watching games, playing apps, chatting on the internet, or chatting on the iPhone. A lot of chatting. I don't mean the chatting is no good, but if you keep chatting, spending a lot of time and no substance, what's the point? It's good to chat a lot. You check it to maintain relationship, right? We need a fellowship, not just face to face, but also most of them encourage another. But if you keep chatting a lot of time and there's not much substance, you're killing time. So it's very important that you need to understand your goal, otherwise you have too much time. Do you know who recognize these two people? Any idea what they are? He's the son of Jackie Chan. You know Jackie Chan? Of course you watch his movie, right? The martial arts movie. The Kung Fu Master. And he was ambassador for Hong Kong. As an ambassador to help fight drugs. As a spokesperson for China in fighting drugs. And what happened? Over the last 2 weeks, his son was arrested in Beijing for taking marijuana. And in his house, his apartment, there's over 100 grams of marijuana. The very son of the ambassador was for winning an anti-drug, and his son was smoking. Not just him smoking. He had other people to smoke together. He has all these packed together, getting ready for his guests. And this is a very rich kid. A bright future. Very famous. His dad is famous, and he himself is famous too. But what's the rest? You know, in China, it's not kidding. Drug hoarding, carrying drugs, is a big crime. It's not just a tiny bit. He has 100 grand. Getting ready to share with other people. So if you do not have a goal, then what happens? You tend to indulge yourself. There's too much time. And you can get at different things. Nowadays in high school, in college, in America, there's so much drug problem, sex problem. Why? You have no goal. We need to have some short-term goals. We also have some long-term goals. But ultimately, it's not you yourself that the goals. It's God. Now you're a Christian. So your goals will be aligning toward God. So that He'll bless you. He'll use your life. You understand where the happiness it is. So that your life is well aligned to what God wants. And then God will bless your life. And through you, He'll bless many people. You know, our Lord Jesus Christ is the number one advisor in investment in the world. You know, he tells us how to invest our time, our life in this time. Could I ask you to read Matthew 6, 19, 21? Let's go. In this passage, he's talking about two types of treasures, right? What are the similarities of these treasures? What are the similarities? Oh, something that you look forward to. Very good, right? By definition, treasure is something very good. You want that. What is another similarity? It's all given by God. But what's the difference? Some is belong to earth, earthly treasures. One is heavenly treasures. Both of them are kept to endow by God. The wise man, the wise way of investing your time is that within your short span of life on earth, change the treasures. Exchange something that's earthly short term to something that's long term. And that's a wise investment. Both are given by our Lord. And your task this day is to understand what you have. What is earthly treasure? Something you precious here. For example, your time, your career, your family, your health, your talents, all are these treasures given God to you. But you've got to just take around your time and switch these treasures to heavenly treasures, eternal treasures, because time is limited. But what is the heavenly treasures? A simple definition is whenever the last eternal is called eternal treasures, by definition. You know what? In future, when we face God, God is asking us, you're going to bring some present to me, right? We have an encounter with you. Now, in China, you know, and you go to greet some people, you're not supposed to go empty-handed. You need to bring some gifts. So next time when you go to God, go to heaven, God will say, hey, will you see me? What kind of little gifts have you got? He wants some fruit from us. In future, when you see God, what kind of fruit have you brought me? And there are two types of fruit God loves. One is called gospel fruit, the other spiritual fruit. Could I ask the ladies read that? Gospel fruit. So, therefore, the first one is gospel fruit. It's just Michael's Michael talked about. There are so many people who have not received Christ. If they have not heard the word, they don't receive Christ, then they will perish in hell. That's eternal. But if you save them, you lead them to Christ, they will eternally save. That's one so good already. So God treasure that. That's eternal. So I ask you in your life, how many people directly or indirectly, because of life, they come to Christ? If there's nothing, you're very short of. The second thing that God asks you to bring is the spiritual fruit. Could I ask a man to read it? Brothers? By definition, what it means is how much you resemble our Lord Jesus Christ. All these things, the Holy Spirit, the new version, is in us, right? We express that. We feel that we empty ourselves, let God live in through us, and all these spirits, the Holy Spirit's fruit will come out. And you know, these two go together. If you have Holy Spirit in you, then people get attracted. The easier they'll come to Christ. A spiritual fruit will come bring gospel fruit. But someone who is very good in character, but they do not want to share gospel, is a fake. People who love souls is a fake. It's not real spiritual fruit. So these are just two sides of the same coin. In future, when you face God, God asks you, how much fruit have you brought me? How much are you resembling my Son, Jesus Christ? And how much, because of your life, actively or indirectly, you have brought people to me? Because for one soul saved, your soul eternally. So I ask you, what do you want to do? Some of you want to go to the medical school to be doctors. Some want to be engineers. Some want to be research scientists. Some want to be executives of corporations. Some want to be just housewife. Very good housewife. Raising children. Supporting husband. That's also very good. We call homemaker. A good name for that. You can even be restaurant worker. Doesn't matter. You can be pastors, you can be missionaries. The whole point is that you have to use your possessions to win these two birds. Our short term goal is to live out these possessions. Live out all these beautiful possessions in that process. Because it's challenging, you have to get hold on to God. So that God's Spirit will reveal you, you have the spiritual fruit come out. At the same time, because you're witness, you bring people to Christ. So in terms of practical steps, there are four. The number one task for you is to restore the original beauty of God's creation in your possessions. You can be doctor, you can be lawyer, you can be housewife, but because sin comes to this world, all these possessions have been tarnished, have been twisted. So the number one task of you is to live out your possessions and reveal the original beauty of God's creation. That's your calling. That's your short term goal. But in this position, try to be creative. Your teacher, try to share the gospel if you could with your students, your doctor, your patients, your colleagues. Try to be creative, just like Michael. He's using his teaching position to influence the students. We want to be teacher, but the teacher being teacher is not our ultimate goal. Our ultimate goal is to win people to Christ and at the same time revealed a beauty of God in us to bear witness for Him. In this process, it's very difficult. There are a lot of pressure, a lot of little twists, right? Difficulty in their life in the last 6 months, a lot of things, right? A lot of things. Then you have to kneel down. God, help me. And because of this process, when you struggle with this challenge, what happens? Get close to God, then God's character will reveal in you. As you get closer and closer to God, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, will be revealed in you. And there's a whole thing. There's a whole thing of your life already here. Live of the beauty of the calling, at the same time, hold on to God. Try to be creative, winning people for Christ, and it's not easy. Get hold on God, so that when He's close to you, His character will reveal in you, and those two spirits, will be abundant in your life. The second point I would like to make is training toward goal. First, I give you the first goal, the short-term goal and long-term goal, and your long-term goal must be aligned with God in order to be blessed, in order to make your life meaningful. But even after knowing the goal, it's not enough. You have to keep pressing on, straining toward. Could I ask Francis to read that together again? On one hand, we talk about goal. On the other, we have to press on, we strain toward the goal. It's not easy. You have to stress. You have to press. Even if the obstacle, difficulties, you have to overcome and go on. In the program progress, Christian has faced a lot of difficulties on his life, but he keeps pressing on. Yet other people, although they know the heaven is leading, they know the goal is very clear, but they waste a lot of time sleeping on the road. Or they just take a sidewalk. And what kind of pilgrims are you? Do you know the goal? And the things you're doing, are you straining toward that goal? Otherwise, you're wasting your time. Don't be wishful thinking. You plan what you sowed. If you do not invest, the thing will not automatically drop to you. If you are not investing your time wisely, then you have no goal. You have no foot. Period. So you see, start thinking about your life now. Because God is going to ask you, how much food you have brought in. Although you know what you should do, but have you planned the foot? Have you invested time to do that? I think you have seen this table before, have you? There are different ways of using time. Important things, not so important things. Urgent things and not urgent things. What's the best way of using your time? Of course, not four. Not important, not urgent. Sometimes when I find young people in summertime, I find that they spend a lot of time on this. In school, when the school starts, they spend a lot of time very urgent. Deadline. These are not very important things. So your time management is all pressed by environment. When there's a lot of time, you just waste it. But there's a lot of time, you just keep pushing. And not digesting. Reflecting what you learn in the process is a waste. Although the things is important, but you're doing too urgent. You're not benefiting from that. So the best way of using time is to try to do the important thing in a not very urgent manner. So you keep reflecting where you are. There's deadline, of course. But when you have a little more spare time, don't waste it. Reflect. What can you use it more wisely? Have you heard of this concept of TQM? In business, we taught it a lot. It's called total quality management. This is about improving the quality of your products. This concept was invented by a professor in NYU, New York University. It's Professor Denning. He thinks that we have to keep improving our products to improve our quality. By doing that, instead of exactly all the design in the room, they have to talk to the factory workers, to the men on the line, because they know when they work, they have a lot of little things they can suggest. Talk to them and keep improving. What's wrong? Keep getting back and then keep polishing. This is the way to keep improving the product. However, although he invented this very good idea called Q Graham, it was not followed by American companies. Other companies are too complacent. Our products are well made, already so well in the world. Don't care. At that time, Japanese companies, the quality of products are not very good. In the 70s and 60s. Lousy products, low quality. So what happened? They invite Professor Denning to go to Japan to give them a talk. How can we improve our quality? So Professor Denning go in and taught T2M. And Japanese take it by heart. So from then on, they keep improving. So nowadays, made in Japan is worth what? Just like made in Germany, the best quality in your life, in the world. Made in US, okay. Made in China. It's ironic. Toyota beat GM. When you buy cars, a lot of times Japanese cars, high quality, right? It's very ironic. The concept of Japanese quality is from America. It's quite ironic. Why? Because people take it seriously. People take it seriously. Total quality management. People, brothers and sisters, take it seriously. Don't just know all these goals from church teaching you. Commit to that. The key point is, you try to keep improving. Keep reflecting where you are now. How can I do it better? And try to start small, because if you start big, you fail. Then you get discouraged. Try to start small, and then gradually increase. The third one, if you really have that goal, set aside your resources. Don't just wish for it. Put aside your time, your resources. When people just hang around, you spend time to work on that. And that process is not easy. Depend on God. And keep progressing. Your goal may be to improve your study now. Be all-rounded. Be also very good athletically. Church service, helping others, all around us. This may be your goal, but keep training toward. How can I do TQM in my life? With this goal already at hand, how can I keep improving? I can start small. God, you have to help me. And next time I choose that, God, help me more. I'm greedy. I want to strain toward the goal, getting better and better. Remember, not just depend on yourself, you have to depend on the strength of God in doing so. This is from the Bible. You reap what you sow. There's no wishful thinking. Don't think that you're hanging around, have a lot of fun time, your life will be wonderful. That's not the case, for sure. If you're not investing, you're getting nowhere. There are two types of lives. There are a lot of youngsters here. We all look forward to the left one. You will find a fulfilling, meaningful job, decent living, you can raise your family, you have some resources to help. And then what? You have a happy and lovely family, good relationship, your husband, spouse, and your children. And not just you are blessed, and many people see you, they also bless you. For your act of love and your witness, they come to Christ. You become a chain of blessings. On the other hand, you are not investing, you are not doing well in your exact area. Then when you find a job, you have a tough time to find a job. You better make a claim to me. And you find a job, you get fired. You just struggle all the time just to survive. And because of this, relationships become very testy. There's a lot of gaps between the two generations. And then what? Your life is miserable. Not just you are miserable. You bring a lot of grief and worry from those who love you. That's the truth. So, today's message is to challenge you. How are you going to use this coming year? How are you going to invest your time? Do you know your goal? Short-term goal and long-term goals. How are this goal aligned with God? And you know the goal, are you investing? Because you are ultimately the one who benefits from the investment. That's how I have to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing us together to worship you. May this word of yours help encourage our lovely brothers and sisters. They have a wonderful future in front of them. Let them use their time wisely and depend on you. We pray that their lives will be very blessed and there will be a channel of blessings to many people. In our Lord Jesus Christ's name, I pray. Amen.